Hallelujah, Jesus. Shalala.
Well, praise the Lord.
Y'all may be seated. Well, praise God. Everybody happy tonight?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Ushers, would you come? Praise God. We have next week is Angel Food, right? Truck comes. This Saturday? Saturday at 5:30 in the morning. Okay. Man, I lose weeks. That's right. It is the end of the month, isn't it? My. So, Angel Food, this is coming Saturday, 5:30 in the morning. Amen. Sunday morning, I'll be here preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all hadn't heard me in a while. Hallelujah. Huh? The guest speaker, huh? Hallelujah. Y'all want me to keep preaching? Y'all pack it out. Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Amen. Y'all believe that? Praise the Lord. I have several things the Lord's given me. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I have several right now. Praise God. I encourage you to give. God bless you. Y'all believe that? Praise God. How many are blessed? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your people. We thank you, Father God, Lord, you've blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God, not only that, God, you've blessed us financially. God, as we give back to you, God, we know, Lord, that you will continue to bless. God, I declare the devourer's rebuke to the people's lives here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. We have several that's needs prayer for their body. I know Candace needs prayer for her ear. Rosie needs prayer for her leg. Seemed to me like there's somebody else. Who else was it? Well, let's join hands. I believe it's important for us to pray. Prayer of agreement. Amen. The Bible says God sent his word and he healed them. So Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we all come in agreement. We come in agreement, God, that you're the healer. God, we come against the pain and the cause for the pain in these bodies. We come against this leg pain and the cause of it. We come against this ear pain and the cause of it. And God, we command this pain to go and the cause to go. And we speak healing to these bodies. We declare these bodies will function normally and correctly in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we receive nothing else. God, we declare that by your stripes we are healed. And we declare your word now, God, has been ministered in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your healing power and touch. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Stan, we turn it to you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I remember Sunday that the bishop spoke healing in this place. Anytime a word comes, there will be something come to challenge the word. I don't know if you heard that or not. I can say it again. I don't like to say that, but I might as well speak the truth. Otherwise, you'll think everything I say is not true. You understand? Anytime a word comes, whether it's through the scripture, through a special promise to you, or through a prophetic word, there's something that comes to try to steal your faith in that word. If it's a pain, if it's an ailment, it's a diagnosis, a prognostication, I don't care what it is, something is coming to try to take that away from you. It is the enemy. How many of us got our toes stepped on just a little bit when he said Sunday that sickness is of the devil? Now, you do know that all bad comes from the enemy and all good comes from God. And if you don't start that as a little child, then you'll get offended at the truth. Because most people, when they hear that there's a sickness is of the devil, that means the last time I was sick, it was from a sin that I committed. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said at all. And that doesn't even have to be the least bit true. If we, as little children, get down that from the Father is good, from everything else is bad, we'll look more to the Father for truth than good. Amen? And we will blame sickness, disease, poverty on an enemy instead of a friend called God. Does that make sense? It should, because it's the truth. I love his boldness when he said that sickness and disease is from the devil. Well, let's just stand there and see if we can't make it flee. It's always, if you can't grab hold of anything else, grab a hold of this. It's a whole lot better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're looking for your truth and your word, your revelation, your knowledge tonight. We want to see what you see, feel what you feel, know what you know, hear what you hear. Grace us with that tonight as we open your word. Let life come forth. Let life-changing life come forth to wash us with the word. Cleanse us from doubt, unbelief, lack of knowledge. Do it by your Spirit tonight, and we'll forever give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. I didn't finish my study last Wednesday night. I'm going to come back to it later. I feel like God has given me something for tonight. So we're going to do that. Amen. If you will turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I was in my hot tub early this morning, and I feel like that God spoke something to me. And if I get in hot water, you get to get in with me. Amen. Y'all hold there for a second. We'll start in just a moment. But one of the things that as the bishop was talking strictly to the pastor Sunday, I don't know if you heard this, but one of the things he said to him directly was, stay in the presence of God, stay in the presence of God, stay in the presence of God, stay in the presence of God. And I thought, well, God must know what we're up to here. That's what I thought Sunday. Then this morning I got some more instruction on that. So we're kind of back up just a little bit, take a run and go with it. Stay in God's presence. I want to remind you that God's presence is what holds this world together. God does not lift His presence. He doesn't take His presence away. We read in Genesis again, I'll remind you, that God's presence is what was holding this earth together when it was without form and void. The word there used was hovering. And a word from God changed it. Not the presence of God coming or an extra move of God, but it was a word. Y'all got that down, right? Okay, a word from God. He's still here. He's still covering the face of the earth. He doesn't have extra presence in church. We just have extra acknowledgement of Him in church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, everywhere. We don't like to think about this, but He's in the bars. He's in the nudie bars. His presence is what keeps sanity, what keeps the molecules, what keeps everything in order. It's the presence of God. And when the bishop and when I've been talking about staying in the presence of God, it isn't chasing after the presence of God. There's a hush. And I hope we haven't said this over and over and it's just now a surprise. Let me say it another way. Our focus is what causes us to see, understand, feel, and hear God. He's the same all the time. He says the same, acts the same, does the same. He's the same. We're the ones that kind of drift around, float in and out. I want to look at this scripture tonight, and I want to tell you that it's His words, it's His actions that change the earth to meet our needs and His needs and demands. His presence is still here. His word is still taking action today. Do you believe that? When He stood up here and prayed a while ago, please understand why He mentioned the prayer of agreement is that our words need to join to multiply. That's scriptural. But they're not worth a hoot, I hate to say that that way, unless we are backing them up with theory and theology from the Word of God. We don't have to learn the King James to be in agreement with God. We just have to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Christ never spoke King James. Never once prayed in King James. Never used these, thous, and that kind of stuff that we have a hard time understanding today. The agreement is, here's the agreement. Here's the point. Did we all want those people healed? Do we have a basis to demand the healing? We have a contract, right? Signed in the blood of Jesus. We have to agree on those issues. Then we have to agree in our mind that those people are qualified to be healed. And I just threw a little statement in there that's not right. Because when you study the walk of Jesus Christ, you find out that those that were highly unqualified were healed and then saved, not saved and then healed. If you look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you will find that He paid for hours and days for healing, and He paid just a moment for the salvation. There's a very important thing. He proved that before He even went through this by many times going to people and say, take up your bed and walk. Go and sin no more. Let's get things in order. We don't qualify people by getting them saved to getting them healed. We don't have to make them righteous beyond inspection before they're qualified to be healed. They just have to agree. We have to agree for them in many cases that they can walk in that health. It's our words. It's our words or us using God's words that are still taking action today, changing what is without form and void into something that's life and that more abundant. If we meditate on Him and His Word, we will constantly be aware of Him and what He is doing. Did you hear the way I said that? He's going to continue to do. We just have to meditate on what He's saying and what He's doing. Now, what caused this was I was in that hot tub, and my mind was, in the morning, my mind goes 1,000 miles an hour. I'm thinking of at least 50 things at once. And I caught myself, I went there to hear from God, and I caught myself hearing everything but God. I even caught myself thinking about the message that I'm going to preach several months from now at my church when I go back and visit. And I said, God, what in the thunder am I doing? I was thinking about the elevator. I was thinking about everything in the world. And that's when God spoke to me about, I'm here. I'm here. You want to hear me? Shut up. Get quiet. And I mean, boom. I guess I'm slow. I have to catch up. But what I was doing is drifting off into the world and its sways and its pressures. You know, somebody that's really hard after God is not under pressure. So when I find myself into pressures, even if it's not stress, then I'm not where God is. I'm somewhere else. And this is what I have to control. I have to shut my mind down, meditate on these things that are good. That would be God, right? When I'm aware of all the things of life, I'm not aware of God, His thoughts, His presence. I'm just not aware. Doesn't mean He's not there. But I've allowed myself to be sucked up by television. I've allowed myself to be sucked up by some pending bill or some work that needs to be done or something way off in the future that I can't plan for anyway. I don't plan for messages. I ask God for them. I want to walk in victory with God. Is He walking in victory? Then it's smart for me to want to walk with Him, not try to bring Him back to my problems. That makes sense? All right. And I want to start with this scripture, and I want to read this story, and I want to make a few comments about it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Before I read this, I want you to remember this, because some of you are doing it this very minute. We will always be aware of the world. That's because we're still dressed in this flesh cloth. But we don't have to be focused on it. You've been built incredible by an incredible God. You can drive down the road and be the best driver in the world and be thanking and praising God and thinking on those things. Because He made you that way. He made you to be able to walk in this world but not be of this world. He created us to be that way and be it very effectively. We lose our effectiveness from the creation of God when we change our focus to things of the world instead of the things of God. We become something we were not created to be. Worriers, fretters, fearful. We're trying to do things our own way, in our own time, and with our own pressures and with our own wisdom. And we move out of what we were created to be. 2 Kings. If we'll focus on God, we'll be consumed by God. Verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. The king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. Verse 9. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. The man of God was using the wisdom of man. Or God was using a man to warn. Which one? Let's read on and find out. Verse 10. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. He watched. How many of you would like to know the plan of the enemy? Can I tell you how to learn the plan of the enemy? Listen to the plan of God. You remember what I just told you about healing? See, I can tell you the plan of the enemy. The minute a word of healing comes to you, you now know the plan of the enemy. But you also know the plan of God because the word of God came to you against the plan of the enemy. You understand what I just said, or did I convolute that a bit? I'm going to say it again then. If a word of God comes to me, then I already know the plan of the enemy. It is to destroy the word. Does that make sense to you? If I find out a promise from God, an excitement from God in any way, then I already know the plan of the enemy, and that is to kill, steal, and destroy the word. He's naive enough to think that he's already got us destroyed. Let me say it even rougher. He already knows that you and I are destroyed, lost without hope, without a word from God. And he knows that there's a possibility of us overcoming the minute we begin to accept the word of God in our lives. And he goes, uh-oh, I'm losing grip. So since he's already had a foothold in us, he comes and tries to steal the word. That's what the Bible says. So how does he do that? You're healed. Oh man, I got this pain. That's what's going to happen. Pastor stands up and says, give, tithe, and watch God perform. And the first thing that happens, you lose your job. Now come on, you don't ever know this happens, right? Now the scripture has to come to you. When I've done all I can do to stand, I got to stand. That means you look at, please, soft Americans. When an enemy looks in your face, you got to be strong enough to say, I'm going to do it anyway. I was talking to a salesman the other day, and I couldn't get through to him. I was talking sense, and he was just wanting a sale. And finally I said, remember the Alamo. And he said, what? What are you talking about? I said, the last time somebody told a Texan that they had to do it a certain way or they're going to get killed, then we say, kill me then, because you're going to remember this fight. So you just remember the Alamo. If you can't work it out, now come on. Well, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the growl that God wants to see in you. He don't want you to remember the Alamo. He wants you to remember to enforce the victory that he's already accomplished. We have to learn that you don't fight an enemy that is surrendered. You never fight a defeated foe. You just enforce the victory. No amens, not even any woe me's. That's right. Put a cross on it and we got it made. Never fight with the devil. Let's go on. By the way, I already told you that. Verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servant and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Please understand, you can't talk sense to somebody that has none. Don't look for answers in a person that has no answer or has not met the answer. Feel sorry. Feel humble to the fact that God has blessed you, touched you, healed you, saved you. But don't look at somebody that is not walking with God and say, do you have an answer? Could you give me an answer? Could you explain to me? You're just going to get buffaloed. You're just going to hear Babel. Please, get that down. The world is still in Babel. If they answer you, it's going to be Babel. Count on it. There's only one answer, that's you, in Christ Jesus. By the way, who's troubled here? What does the scripture say in verse 11? Who's troubled here? Is it Israel or is it Syria? One of the things the pastor keeps trying to get across to us on Sunday morning and even tonight, and I'll put it blunt, if we walk around troubled all the time, we're not Israel. We're not saved. We haven't entered into the covenant. Because this man has the biggest army, supposedly, in the world. What's he troubled about? He's got the plan, man. He's fixing to whoop somebody bad. But he's troubled. Now, are y'all getting a picture here? Don't just worry about the king of Israel. Let's worry about us. If we walk around troubled all the time, maybe we're on the wrong side. Maybe we're the defeated. There's this spirit called the world, and it wants to control you. This is the spirit of Syria. This is Syria wanted to control the whole world. Israel's hurting no one. They're good for the world. But there's something in the world, the flesh, the devil, that wants to control you. If you try to meditate on the things of God, there's going to be something trying to steal your meditation. There's going to be a focus. I'm going to be alone with God this minute. 49 phone calls come. Hang up. That's why they made that mechanism on the phone. If you were supposed to answer every call, you'd have been born with an implant. I'm going to say it another way. God gave you the ability to answer Him or answer the world. You need to figure out which one you're going to answer and which you're going to say, it's not for me. Call's not for me. I'm talking to somebody important right now. Tell them I'm in a meeting. Can we learn to say that once in a while? When the enemy comes, when a pressure comes, when a worry comes, tell them I'm in a meeting. Keep your meditation. Keep your focus. If we're not resting in the fact that God is at rest, where, by the way, when He had finished His work and He entered into His rest, where does it say He had to go back to work? I found that interesting. He used to be a workaholic. That God did His work and He entered into the rest and He never started working again. And we're invited into His rest. Does that mean I don't go to work? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it means. You can show up. You can do a deed. You can bless somebody with your presence and your sweat. You can do those things. But you need to remember where you rest. When there's a lot of problems go on, you don't do like me sometime and go to yelling. I'm learning. You just smile. Make everybody wonder what you're up to. Amen. Or we can have the heart of the king and greatly troubled. Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Nothing secret. Isn't that what the Bible says? There's nothing done in secret. I'm God. Can you let me be God just for a second? I'm omnipresent. I'm omniscient. I know everything, see everything all at the same time. And I see somebody planning. I see the enemy planning to destroy some of mine. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think God is going to whisper some truths to those that are listening? See, God's a cheater. That's what the enemy would say. God's a cheater. He peeks and then tells. Yeah, He does. That He does. And I thank Him for that. Y'all look at me funny. Somebody asked me one time, do you think God could lie? I said, sure He can. He can do anything He wants to. But the minute He did, it become truth and it no longer be a lie. Come on, how much confidence do you have in God? How much confidence do you have in God? No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you feel, He's right and He's on the job. That's how much confidence we have to have. If our heart gets troubled, hey God, the bill comes and we can't pay, hey God, you got mail. The enemy's outside trying to beat down the door. God, they want you. And I trust you. I trust you. Elisha, the prophet, who's in Israel, and he doesn't visit your bedroom, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. How many of you like that? How many of you know that there's nothing that goes on in your bedroom that God don't know about and He's telling somebody? I trust Him, don't y'all? I trust Him. If you tell somebody about what I do, it's for good. If we know that God will always be in charge and He always rules, He will never be caught up in the world's way of seeking power. The king of Syria wants power. Israel wants to worship power. The power, God. Who's God? Who is God going to honor? Those that are trying to say, God, we worship You, or those that say, we want to be You. Is He going to equip and honor those that are meditating on Him day or night, or those that are trying to be Him day and night? My mind, where is it? Is it knowing that I'm in the presence of God or hoping I am? Verse 18, verse 17. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what happens when I turn the page and I don't pay attention. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. The friendly voice comes out. If the angry voice doesn't work, the friendly voice comes. Surely we can work this out. Come, let's meet. I'll have a little cheese and wine here, and we'll talk about things. Trust me. You know who you never trust? Somebody says, trust me. Trust is something that comes from God. And trust announces itself. You understand what I'm saying? But if somebody comes in and says, I'm your friend, trust me. God, this one's for you. Verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Oh, now our goose is cooked. Come on. If y'all were surrounded right now and everybody's yelling, I'm going to kill you, would you be screaming bloody murder, playing please don't kill me, or saying remember the Alamo? Remember Jesus. They couldn't say that here, but they will be able to. Remember Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and I dwell in it, it'll give life to my mortal body and you're not big enough to take it away. And God says, that's my boy. They surrounded it. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Well, at least he was smart enough to say, we got to do something. Those Christians just don't do anything. They just say, oops, I must have sinned. I must have done something wrong. And this is my punishment. And the enemy says, I got him dumbed down to believe that. Is that too rough? I've done a good job. You remember what I said? Well, let me just... Those that are consumed by thoughts of this world always have questions. Those that are consumed by God always have answers. And don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not qualified to be the answer. Because you're the only thing he's got. See, his spirit changed the earth. His spirit, the spirit of God, said to man, I'm now resting. You tend to things. How? Well, just remember the presence of God is still there. We have his word now. Use it. Something looks without form and void. Somebody needs an answer. Use it. Well, what if I make a mistake? The spirit of God will take what was meant for bad by the enemy and turn it to good for his benefit. So don't be dumb, but open your mouth and say something about God, if nothing else. I mean, if all you can think of is Jesus loves me, this I know, then say it. And you watch the Spirit of God do the rest. Because he honors his word. And believe me, that's God's word. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Because the Bible told me so. Verse 16, the man of God steps up and so he answered. What's the first thing that Jesus says? What's the first thing that men of God say? Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, how many of you really think that you outnumber the enemy? Most of us just believe that we outpower him. And that's a really good start. But remember that we outnumber them. Not just outpower. We outnumber them in smarts, attitude, truth, deliverance. They have none of it. They have none. Man, I want you guys to understand how blessed you are. What God has put in you, on you, what you're surrounded by, what you're carried on, what you're washed with on a daily basis. And the presence of God is behind all of this. It's like he's trying to permeate you. And the only thing that makes you impermeable would be your mind going somewhere else other than God. Otherwise, you are extremely blessed. There are more of us than them. And even if there wasn't, if it was just me, I still outnumber them. because I have the earth covered with the presence of God, and he's actively trying to do his will through me, and he's not helping them. If he didn't do anything but just not help them, that's enough. But my goodness, like a flood. Y'all remember that scripture that the bishop quoted? Y'all, somebody quote that scripture to me. See, we wrote that wrong. We wrote that wrong. We interpreted that wrong. That's what God told me one day, so I'm going to share that with you. I went to the bishop, and it took me a while to get that through to him because our languages didn't, not too well. My wife pushed me up here and said, tell him about this scripture. And I tried to explain, and the man that was with him read the scripture, and I went out back ready to go, and he said, wait just a minute. Be my teacher for a minute. Could you explain that to me one more time? When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit lifts up a standard. He looked at me kind of funny and he said, what's a flood? Okay. A flood is a wall of water coming that washes things away, or the presence of water rising that floats things away. And you need to remember this. I never thought about this until he made me think about it. When the world was surrounded by sin, God said, all I can see is sin except for Noah and his family. What happened? A flood. The Spirit, whoom, and washed away sin and every man with it except Noah and his family. Now after that was completed, all sin was washed away. Now there's a flood. What was the promise that God gave? What? Do what again? No. He would never, we like to read it to say, he'll never cover the water, the earth with water again, which the crux of that is, I will never kill man again. But I'm going to send the Spirit to wash the sin away anytime they ask, anytime they believe. Do you understand? We get tunnel vision sometimes in the promises of God. He promised not to wash sinners and kill them with the flood, with the Spirit of God. But he didn't promise that he wouldn't wash sin away. So, when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit comes to raise up a standard. Sounds like a flood to me. Raise up a standard. Come on, y'all can get excited about that. We pray for floods. We want the washing of the Word. We want all that, and we're afraid of a flood? I want the flood. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Now, does anywhere in the Word say there was anything wrong with his eyes? Then why wasn't he seeing? He was so busy, focused on the enemy, he couldn't see the victory. Shall I say that to you again? He was so intent on looking at that threat, he couldn't see the promise. Now, can I just say every one of our problems, that's the solution, that's the answer right there? We're so intent on looking at the threat that we refuse to see the promise. Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. What? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Must have been a little bigger than Elisha. Because he saw something. Either that or he ran to where Elisha was. Elisha's standing here. Come on. Let's picture this. If we can't get the picture, we can't get the word. Elisha's standing surrounded by the enemy. His helper, his the man by his side, right hand, is standing there, and the man's going, oh my God, do you see what I see? And Elisha says, oh my God, let him see what I see. And all of a sudden, the man saw what he saw. Why? Because his gaze dropped, his focus changed. Do we have it in us to say, God, could you please get this character to see what I see, hear what I hear, feel what I feel, know what I know? I pray to God that's what I'm trying to do to you every time I get up here. Say, oh my God, please let these people see what I see and hear what I see, I hear, know what I know. And then I pray to God right before we start and say, God, let us see what you see and hear what you hear and know what you know. And you know what? We should say, and nothing else. And nothing else. Forgive my doubt. Forgive my unbelief. Just help my faith. You want peace, you got to be with God. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people. I pray with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. According to what? It wouldn't have happened if Elisha hadn't spoken it. Spirit of God there, the presence of God there, the powers of God there, the fire of God there, and God is wanting Elisha to command him. Now that's the way we would say it. It's not that way. Elisha had been in the presence of God and he knew what God wanted. God gave Elisha's right-hand man the vision to see what was real. Then he prayed, God, take away from them what's real. What was real to them was victory. What was real to Elisha was victory. They both saw victory. Which one was seeing correctly? Well, we found out when he said, make them blind. They can no longer see victory. They couldn't see Elisha dead. They couldn't see the town. They couldn't see what to do. God cheats. According to the Syrians, he cheated. Y'all don't like that. You know what the difference between truth and propaganda is? What side of the fence you're on. If you're an enemy to God, you're doing it because you feel like it's the truth. If you're a friend of God, you're doing it because you think it's the truth. God will sort it out. I asked you a question close to this a long time ago. I'll ask you again. How many of you would be just bold enough to say, God, make them blind? Christians don't act that way. Well, you're wrong. There it is. And God struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. God uses people that know they're in the presence of God, know they're in the presence of truth, know that there's more of us than them. God uses those people to enforce his will. Y'all believe that? Or what did I just say that you believe? See, he doesn't enforce everything we say. He enforces those things that we get from him while we're conscious that he's here. Not conscious that there's a lesbian scene on your favorite doctor show on TV. He has a hard time working with us during that time. A new program that's wife swapping and husband swapping. He has a hard time talking to us because you didn't, the minute that garbage come on, you didn't turn that off. You let the enemy walk right in here and put things in your mind that shouldn't be there. Instead of saying, not as for me and my house, that's not coming in here. Oh, but God's a loving God. Surely he'll let lesbians and homosexuals in the priesthood? Yeah, he will. Satan's priesthood, you bet. You sign up, you go that direction, you're going to hell, and you're trying to take people with you. Stan, that's too harsh. No, it is the truth. It's the truth. Come on, if you don't like it, raise your hand, we'll argue. I got scripture, what you got? Do you understand that homosexuality is nothing but praise of self? It's a physical manifestation of who you really praise and who you really love, and it's the only thing that made God so mad that he destroyed, blasted Sodom, Gomorrah, and five other cities. An entire area just disappeared. I think I'm taking God's side. And I don't know what he's got, but it's pretty potent, and I'm sticking with him. Even if I had those tendencies, I promise you, I'll stick with him because I don't like fire. I got in fire one time. It ain't fun. It's not fun. I'm sticking the present. I'm sticking with the present. It's called a cool fire. I don't lose any skin. Let me cover a couple of things here. Number one, a constant walk and awareness of God begins as a work. Did you hear what I said? Don't be Dobie Gillis and say, woo! If you want the awareness of the constant presence of God, it has to be, I know, only us old people know that. It has to be a work on your part. But it's a gift. Your salvation's a gift. The rest of it's a work. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It don't say rest your salvation out. That means your mind is against what God wants you to do. Your body wants to die and God wants you to live. Your body wants to commit adultery. God wants you to be faithful to him. So you have to work at it. Then those small things that come about, then you practice for a while and the work goes away, the pleasure comes. It's not a long work. But then sometimes you'll end up out in the hot tub and you'll find your mind wandering. And you say, God, I'm sorry. I don't know what I think I'm up to. I came out here to be with you. My mind wants to be everywhere else. Mind, get back here where you're supposed to. And then the Spirit of God that always has been there becomes aware to you, and that's not a work anymore. Come on, y'all know it's fun to be with God? He's a blast. He's the best friend you can have. I'm not going to say that. That's bad. He's the best guy to party with. If you're going to go drinking, drink with him. Man, the wine that he gives, woo-hoo. And he will pick up the tab. And if you run out of wine, he'll make some new stuff. If you don't have a ride, he'll just pick one up and y'all ride. Y'all stand with me in the Word? All this is Word. You run out of money, he'll send you fishing so you can get some. Now, is that a blast? Is that fun? Is that weird? Yeah, it's kind of weird. But you know how God works? Through fresh things. There's nothing about him that's stale, that's mundane, that's the same old thing. You know why that word came to me so quick this morning? Because I don't get up in the morning and go to the hot tub, but I did this morning. So God says, oh, okay. Number two, our minds want to return to worthless wanderings. Every day of your life, your mind is going to want to return to worthless wanderings. Number three, letting our minds go where they want will lead us to conversations that are focused on things that are temporal and valueless. You want to know if you're in the presence of people that are in the presence of God? They won't be talking about the weather. They won't be talking about the price of gold or the price of fuel. Because they don't care about those things. They won't be gossiping about their neighbor because they don't really want to know about their neighbor. They want to know about me. I don't want to tell you about me. I want to know about me. You hear what I'm saying? Temporal things are worthless. They're valueless. Let me tell you about that new car I got. Okay, if you got to. Go ahead. I'm glad you got a new car. Praise God. Now let's talk about something important. How'd you get it? Did God bless you in it? He blessed you in the purchase of it? Hopefully he blessed you so much that you paid cash. If not, I hope the next time you buy one, you pay cash. I pray and agree with you in that. Amen? Come on, let's go back. Let's get back on track. Number four, as we speak of the weather, the market, the price of fuel and goods, we lose focus on the will and the continual work of God going on around us every moment of every day. Our gaze drops to things of this world. Number five, as we lose focus, we lose hearing and sight. As we lose focus, we lose hearing and sight. Somebody has to pray, God, let him see what I see. And praise God, he'll send somebody. He'll give you the opportunity over and over and over. Number six, as we hear and see valueless things, we lose our value to the kingdom. The more we concentrate on those things of no value, we lose value in the kingdom of God. We become less and less worth God's time. We can no longer hear and see what God is doing and saying. Number seven, if we will do the work of controlling our minds and conversations, we'll begin to enjoy our walk in the cool of the day with God. And he will begin to use us to help him without work, without strain, without worry. We will be the answer instead of the one with all the questions. You know what would be the scariest thing on the face of the earth for a preacher? To show up and try to talk to people that had all the answers. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? That'd be a fantastic thing. Oh, I see. I don't need to preach today. Why don't we share? Tell me what God's done in your life. Tell me what God said to you right before you came to church today. Drop that fresh bomb in you. I want to get some splattered on me here. And we have a MC instead of a preacher. Now that's not going to happen because the Bible says through the foolishness of preaching. If preachers could just remember that they're the fools that God's using, things would be a lot better off. Through the foolishness of preaching, if anything is pure, where is that? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Can you turn to Philippians 4:8? It's down there somewhere. Philippians 4:8. Finally, let me put an end to all of the conversations, brethren. Whatsoever things are true. See, if we could just stop there for a while, we're gonna get the rest of it. Whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate, don't leave these things. And if somebody comes to you with a bummer, go back to a good thing. Because wherever there's a good thing, there's a God thing. And he's going to be there saying, thank you for coming back. I know your mind took you away a little bit, but let's keep our party going here. Truth. Did you know Satan cannot speak truth? He doesn't have it in him. He can't do it. It's so truthful what I'm telling you right now, that the time that he took Jesus upon the mountain and he used the truth, the word, it turned into a lie. He turned the word of God into a lie because he does not have the ability to have truth come out of him. So whatever flattering thing that he says, whatever good thing that he says, whatever partial truth thing that he says, it's a lie. Don't meditate on that. Well, fuel is just, it may hit $10 a gallon. Praise God. Here's the fuel bill, God. This bill's for you. Yeah, but they're not going up on my wage. Hey, God, this one's for you. You got a problem. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? He'll do the caring for you. Man, if we could get that down. God, I got a care. Here. He's a good catcher. Good catcher. Y'all stand with me. There's too many scriptures to read here. What time is it? I should wear a watch, shouldn't I? How many believe what I've talked about tonight? All right. For those that did not lift their hands, how many will try to believe what I've talked about tonight? Will you make a commitment to think on some good things and see if the presence of God doesn't reveal himself? See if you begin, as you think on truth, you think on God being on your side, that he opens your eyes and starts seeing how much he is for you. God loves you so much. So much. That was a nice little Bible story, was it? Oh, it's nice, but it was truth. And you know what? I believe that God visited me in my hot tub this morning as all of these things that I was pondering on were bombarding me. And he opened my eyes and said, why don't we just look and see of how many of that there is and how much of me there is. That's how much he loves me. Oh, man, that excites me. That God would visit me this morning in the hot tub. And I was just in hot water. I was sweating and I was saying, God, here I am. Cook this garbage out of me. Well, Stan, what garbage? Nothing else. Thinking about something I don't need to be thinking about. God loves you. He values you way beyond anything that you can imagine. The coal of fire that we're singing about. Did you read the words to that song? Take me past the outer court. All of those people that are singing your praise, I want to go past that. Now here's the kicker in that song. I believe it's anointed of God. It says, take me past the priest that praise you. Oh my goodness. Take me past the praise and worship leader. Take me past the praise songs. Take me past everything, God. I want to be close to you. I want to be right where you are. I want you to feel so hot that I can feel the things of this world cooking off of me. I want to hear them sizzle. Woo! That should excite you. Man, a pressure cooker from God that instantly makes us well done. Amen. It's good. It's good. All hearts clear. Trust God. Trust him. Don't make him say, trust me. Just offer up. Let that be the beginning of all praise. God, I trust you. Maybe I don't even know how to love you yet, but I give you my trust. Teach me to love. Most people don't know how to love. They need to learn. So teach me through trust. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Father, tonight we trust you. Trust you that this story was not a story, but it was a mind-changing event in our lives because it's alive. It's a sword that divides flesh and spirit, world and spirit. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Nothing I have done, but I know as I'm standing here that lives have been changed here tonight. I know that. Somebody that's not sure needs to say amen. If you're not sure, declare it anyway. Your life has been changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do this in faith. Cause this your people to be more powerful than they've ever been before. Cause them to enter into your presence more than ever before, to walk in your presence, to sleep in your presence. As the night, if they awake in the night, they just throw their hands up and say, God, I love you. I trust you. Thank you for the sleep. I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the provision. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you for the victory tomorrow. Praise you, Lord. Teach us your ways. As we meditate day and night, we're going to take dominion over all of the enemies of you, Lord. Since you have told us we don't have any, then we want to fight your enemies for you. We are not going to fight. We're going to enforce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. All hearts clear tonight? If not, we'll be more than willing to pray. I hope you're encouraged. Be at peace. Be at power. In Jesus' name, the blessings are overtaking you because that's what you're expecting. Everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your time.